Chapter 2, if you don't mind. Acts chapter 2, as I have studied the New Testament, Acts chapter 2 is one of the most important passages that needs to be preached from, studied, read, understood multiple times throughout the year. It's not just something we need to look at once or twice a year. It's something that needs to be referred to over and over. And obviously, the power of the Holy Spirit is evident here. I want to ask you this question, and we don't have to go into a discussion, but have you ever wondered, is it possible to have too much of God? Have you ever heard the phrase, he's so spiritually minded that he's no earthly good? Anybody ever heard that phrase before? I've thought about that, and I really don't think that what that phrase is describing is a person who is truly spiritually minded. I think maybe their priorities are out of whack, or so to speak. Maybe they're concentrating on the wrong things. But I believe if we are fully devoted to Christ and truly spiritually minded, it will affect our priorities. It'll affect how we treat people. It'll affect our relationships. It'll affect everything. And I don't know if you can have too much of God. I think God has more of himself to pour out for us than we could even handle at times. But the early church, in Acts chapter 2 is the account of the early church. The early church could have sung the song we just sang, "Bind us together, Lord, bind us together." I don't think it was written back then. But if it was, they could have easily sung it, because in Acts chapter 2, we have the picture of a church that is exactly doing what God has called for it to do. Some people say it's a picture of a successful church. Acts chapter 2 church is a successful church. I don't know if that's the right word or not. Success, too many times, lends itself to our thinking about business or about a competition or about money or whatever. And so I want to use a different word to describe the church in the book of Acts. Maybe, and they were successful, obviously, but let's put that word aside. I think the church in the book of Acts was healthy. And maybe that's a term we use for, physical characteristics and hospitals and all that. But in the context of an organization that was doing what it had been called to do, what Jesus had founded it to do, the early church was healthy, very, very healthy. And there are several elements. In fact, there are seven elements that I want to look at. But before I look at those, I want to look at, you can keep your finger in Acts chapter 2. I want to look at Ephesians chapter 5. And we asked this question, can you have too much of God? No, I don't think you can ever have too much of God. Do you think it's possible to pray too much? Do you think it's possible to read your Bible too much? I don't know. I don't know how to answer all those questions. I don't think any of us are even close to reading our Bible too much. And for sure, we're not praying too much. I'm pretty certain of that. As much as I know some of you spend time in prayer, and as much as we should spend time in prayer, I don't think any of us are really close to praying too much or reading God's word too much. But there is a verse that talks about the excesses of something. There's an example that Paul uses in Ephesians chapter 5. It's very familiar to you, but I want to reference it before we get to the church in Acts chapter 2. Paul says, "Do not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but rather be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." In other words, when you get together as a church, there should be evidence of the filling of the Holy Spirit in your lives, to the point where it almost might seem like it's too much. I don't know for sure why the Apostle Paul uses this phrase, "Do not be drunk with wine wherein is in excess." But he's making a comparison to the person who has a drinking problem. They drink and they drink and they drink and they drink and they drink until their whole demeanor is changed. Their viewpoint is changed. Their speech is changed. Their ability to walk is usually hindered. Everything about them when they're drunk is changed. And obviously Paul has already told us in other passages we're not supposed to be drunk. We are actually supposed to be filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit of God in our life. And sometimes we go after prayer as a spiritual exercise, and we should. And we think that prayer is the answer. And prayer is extremely important, and we're not praying enough. But prayer is not the only thing that we're called to do or called to be a part of. And then we think about the other aspects of our spiritual life, reading God's word, studying God's word. And we've got to study God's word, and we should. But even studying God's word isn't enough. The thing that I believe was evident in the early church that caused other people to be gravitated towards the early church was the fact that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, which we're looking at here, Acts chapter 2, the passage we're looking at is towards the end of this chapter, but at the beginning of this chapter, you know what happens in Acts chapter 2. It's the account of when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. And the cloven tongues of fire and the house, the upper room where they were meeting was shaken and all those kind of things. Whatever happened in the upper room, and they had been eating together, they had been praying together, they had been worshiping God together, they had been probably reading scripture together as was the custom. They had been doing all those exercises of spiritual formation, but what they lacked was the power and the presence of God. And when the Holy Spirit came on them, as was promised by Jesus, that church made a huge difference, not only in Jerusalem, but in the entire world. And for us tonight, what I would like to get across is this. I want, as part of our spiritual disciplines, I want us to look at what they did in the early church. But I want us to recognize that all of these things only work. The prayer, the Bible reading, all those things only work in the context of being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So this is after Pentecost, and I want to look, and we're going to go through this quickly together. I'm not going to read the whole passage first and then go through it. I just want to start going through it. If you look at verse 42 of Acts chapter 2, it says this, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers." There's several things in here that I want to point out to you. They continued steadfastly. Now that's a good King James word. In other words, they didn't walk around wandering aimlessly, you know, just trying to figure out what they're supposed to do. No, this is the very beginning of the church, and they knew what they were supposed to do. And the very first thing I think that indicates a healthy church is purpose. They're not running around, you know, well, we're going to do this next, and then we're going to do this next. They have a focus in the early church. Their purpose was to tell people about Jesus. Incidentally, that's our purpose too. We want to point people to Jesus Christ. We want to tell them about Jesus. And one of the reasons I think God has blessed Journey to Bethlehem is because we are zeroed in on this focus to tell people about Jesus. We're not trying to get them in our church. We're not trying to get them to sign up for some program. We're not trying to do any of those things. We are just trying to tell as many people as we can through that event about Jesus Christ. That's our purpose. And I see in the early church, I see a dedication to purpose that I see lacking in many churches. I was hearing about a church recently, and I'm not trying to be unduly critical, but not many people go to that church, and it's not all about the numbers, but they're just basically coming, keeping the lights on, and paying the electric bill, and trying to just keep it going. We're just trying to keep it going. Well, the purpose of the church is not to keep the bills paid and the lights on. The purpose of the church is to attract people to Jesus Christ. And I believe that when a church is filled with spirit-filled individuals, that will be evident, the purpose. Number two, and this is also in verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. I want to concentrate on the prayer part for just a moment. They, and if you notice, breaking of bread and praying is in the same thing, in the same sentence. They had a tradition of spending time together, of eating together, of praying together. And what we do on a Sunday morning or even a Sunday night, and some of you came to this altar, we prayed for Dempsey. Listen, that's just not an exercise of what we do tradition as a church. That is what I believe is mirrored for us in the early church as an example for us. We need to be praying for one another. When you meet together in your small groups, those of you in groups, or even on Wednesday night, prayer night, when we share a need or we share a difficulty or something that's happening and we begin to pray about that, we are actually living out what a healthy church should look like. And when you get an email from Susie or you get a text that we put out from time to time and it has a prayer request or whatever on it, that prayer request is a privilege for us to join with our brothers and sisters in the Lord in praying together. The early church knew all about prayer. And they did it on a regular basis. I want to jump to verse 43. After, you know, they're continuing with purpose and prayer and all of this, they're functioning as a church. The result in verse 43 is, then fear came upon every soul. And many signs and wonders were done through the apostles. When they came out of the upper room, they came out making a splash, making an impact. There was something different about them after the day of Pentecost had happened. And I believe that as a church, if we are going to have an impact on our world, we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If you notice some of these, if you're taking notes, these all start with the letter P. Number one, the early church had purpose. Number two, they were involved in prayer. And number three, they had the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. I don't know about you, but there are times when I don't feel very powerful. I feel pretty powerless. But in those moments, I think we need to remember that our power can't come within. It can't come from a book that we're reading or some blog that we're paying attention to. Our power has to come from the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the same is true with us individually as Christians. The same is true with us as a church. The power of Faith Community Chapel has nothing to do with our name, has nothing to do with our building or our bus or any of our events. The power only is power that comes from God. The apostles had power. Many signs and wonders. And I know there's no apostles here today. None of us have walked with Christ physically, you know, on this earth. But you know what? I bet God wants to use us even more than he's using us now to impact those around us for him. I'm not saying you got to go out and be one of those faith healers and, you know, start some kind of weird ministry. No, I'm not talking about that. But the power of stopping and helping someone and praying for them beside the road or whatever, that power is power that comes from the Holy Spirit within. The early church, there's no doubt about it, they had power. Let me give you four more to look at here. Then fear came upon every soul. This is verse 43. Many signs and wonders were done through the apostles. Now all who believed, verse 44, were together and had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and good and divided them among all as anyone had need. In going in line with the words that start with the letter P, I think there was philanthropy in the early church, if I can even say it. It starts with P, but it doesn't sound like it starts with a P. Verse 45, they sold their goods and possessions and they parted them to all men as any man had need. You can't be a fully devoted follower of Christ and not have, at some point, the Holy Spirit prompt you to give. I'm not saying you have to give to every homeless person. I'm not saying you have to give to every need that comes across your path. But a healthy church is a church that has philanthropy. There, I'm going to quit saying it now. As a part of its ministry. The other day, Pastor Jeff brought a situation to us, and we talked about it. And I am pretty sure that our role as a church is not to be handing out money. We don't want to get that reputation. But I do want to be a church that meets needs. In this particular case, there was a person who had made a lot of difficult decisions and had gone away from the Lord, and we had ministered to them a number of years ago, and then they had come back, and all, you know how all those stories go. And they wanted the money to, they were going to be kicked out of their house or something like that. And my question was this: what are their immediate needs? Are they hungry? Instead of giving them food, can we show them, I'm going to try to say it, philanthropy. Can we show them that we care about them without giving them money? Because sometimes you step into a situation and you give money, you might be thwarting what God wants to do in that person's life. But here in the early church, you know what they did? As anyone had need, they met those needs. And so I know there's a fine line, and it's hard to figure it out, and what's a need and what's not a need. And so, just so you know, our church is not in the habit of paying people's cell phone bills or their cable bills or anything like that. But occasionally, we'll take food to people. Occasionally, there'll be some other opportunities to meet needs. And I think that's evident here in a good look at the early church here in the book of Acts. There is philanthropy that's happening, verses 44 and 45. Let me hurry on. Verses 46, they continued daily in one accord in the temple. They still went to the temple to worship. They were breaking bread from house to house, and they ate their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. I was trying to figure out a word that starts with P for this, and another pastor came up with a word here that I think I'll use here. I don't know, it might be a stretch, but anyway, the word is purity. There's something pure about a church that is constantly doing what the church should do. They're meeting together, they're breaking bread together, they're fellowshipping together. There was gladness and singleness of heart. I couldn't come up with a different word, but anyway, purity. They weren't fighting, they weren't dividing, they weren't attacking one another. There's purity or unity that was happening there. Verse 46. Verse 47. And the early church was praising God and having favor with all the people. Did you know that praising God is infectious? It's contagious. Praising God is more contagious than the coronavirus. It is. Because when you go into an atmosphere where other people are praising God, by the way, that's the P word. The early church was involved in praising God. When you go into an environment where other people are already praising God, your heart's drawn to praise God as well. And I hope and pray that every new person that comes through those doors is drawn to the Holy Spirit, not simply because the Holy Spirit is drawing them, but also because our hearts are lifted up in praise to God. And let me give you one more thing. Verse 47, the early church had progress. The Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved, those who were being saved. In fact, I was going through some books in my office recently this week, and I've collected different programs and different tape series. Yes, I still have some tapes in my office. That's how old some of those things are. Different seminars that I've been to and things about, you know, how to make your church more successful, how to make your church, you know, all those things. And I think we can glean, I think we can learn, I think all those things are good, and we need to stretch our brain and do things with the best effectiveness possible. But it doesn't change the fact that when we are filled with the Holy Spirit and we're functioning as a healthy church, God brings increase. God brings progress. And guess what? We can't take the credit for that. We can try. God will shut that down. Any success that we have as a church has to come from the hand of the Father and the blessing of the Holy Spirit. I believe that progress that happened in the early church happened because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So, is it possible to pray too much? Well, I don't even know if that's a valid question because I don't think we're praying enough as it is. Is it possible to read God's word too much? Well, probably we're not even close to reading it as much as we need to be reading it. But is it possible to have too much of the Holy Spirit? Is it possible to have too much of God's blessing on our church? Is it possible to be too healthy as a church? No, don't think so. We need more of God than we've ever needed him before. We don't know what's around the corner. Seriously, we don't know what virus is next. You know, we don't know what election is, what's going to happen in November. We don't know any of those things. But what we do know is God blesses his people that make him king of their life and point other people to him. Is it possible to have too much of the Holy Spirit? No, I don't think so. I think the phrase in Scripture, not only were they filled, but we are to be filled and we are to be being filled. We are to constantly be seeking the filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our ministries. And I believe that that is what a healthy church looks like. Amen? Praise the Lord. Why don't you stand? And why don't you do what several have bragged about tonight that we do so well? Why don't you fellowship and welcome one another to the house of the Lord? And I hope you all have a good week in the Lord. And I hope that God is especially near to you this week. You are dismissed. Thank you for being here. What a wonderful day.